This morning, we are going to be talking about shepherds. Shepherds are super fun. Shepherds have been around since the beginning of time. And I had to actually look that up. Actually, I didn't have to look it up because I remembered that in Genesis, there was a shepherd in Genesis right at the beginning. The first recorded shepherd was Abel, the son of Adam and Eve. So since the beginning of time, or at least Genesis chapter 4, it is obvious that sheep have needed a shepherd. So I dove deep into the world of sheep and shepherds this week to better understand the passage that we are studying. Let's see if this thing is going to... There we go. Aw, there's a sheep. This is what I learned about sheep. I know you're all wondering all the stuff that I learned about sheep, so here we go. First, sheep are mentioned over 500 times in the Bible, more than any other animal. We are called Jesus' sheep, and he says that he is the good shepherd. Random facts about sheep. Sheep are a prey species, which means that their only defense is to run away. I'm just saying. If you think about it, you're like, oh yeah, I guess that would be. Like, what would they? How would they defend themselves? The sheep has a rectangle pupil in their eye, which allows them to see almost 320 degrees around them. They are sociable, which means they will bond with each other and they will stay together for protection. Sheep can't swim. If they wade into water, their wool will absorb the water and they will sink and drown. Also, when it comes to water, they won't even really drink from a fast-moving stream. The water has to be, sometimes the shepherd will have to like dam up the stream so that it becomes slower moving so the sheep feel comfortable drinking. If they aren't sheared, their fleece can get so heavy that if they're turned upside down, like if they fall and end up on their back somehow, if they're left in that position, they will suffocate and die. Sheep will not lay down if they're hungry or if they sense danger. They will continue to stand until they're in a safe area. So if you look out in a field and you see all the sheep laying down, if they're laying down, that means they're feeling pretty comfortable. As to the intelligence of sheep, well, I think they have a pretty bad rap. But it really depends on who you talk to. Most people think of sheep as being stupid, but it is because of their failure to act independently. They have a strong instinct to stay together, and many people say that they're actually very intelligent animals. Now, shepherds can handle their own group of sheep until there's about 100 of them. Once they have about 100, then they usually need to have some help out there in the fields. Sorry, I have the new microphone, so I'm trying to figure out so that I'm... Okay, that's better. All right. So they'll usually have somebody come and help them if there's more than 100 sheep. When David, King David in the Bible, was a boy in 1 Samuel, he was a shepherd for his family. He spent his days out in the wilderness caring for the flock. So when he wrote Psalm 23, he knew intimately what it meant to be a shepherd. He also knew the sheep. He knew what it took personally and what it meant practically to care for sheep. He had spent a whole lot of time with sheep, and so it was very personal to him when he wrote this psalm, that he is our shepherd, that God is our shepherd, Jesus is our shepherd. Now, knowing all that we know about sheep, we're going to dive into this passage in Psalm 23. I'm sure you probably have heard at least part of it before. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So we're going to take a little bit of time this morning. It sounds that, you know, you read that, it sounds very comforting and nice. But I want us to just take a little bit deeper look at it this morning. So we're going to go to verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Okay, there it is. We don't need anything else. Thank you for coming this morning. If you have the Lord, you shall not want. No. The NIV actually says, I lack nothing. The shepherd provided all that the sheep needed, and as the good shepherd, Jesus provides all that we need right here, right now. David is recognizing God as the one who is his source. Think about that for a minute. I lack nothing. Do you believe that? I think sometimes, most of the time, we probably feel like we're lacking something. I mean, yeah. But God is in control. He is in control of our finances. He's in control of our households and our country. And you lack nothing. One of the biggest lies that Satan uses in our lives is that we lack. It means that God has left something out when he's caring for us. But he didn't. He is our shepherd, and we lack nothing. And the lie that the enemy would try and tell you that you lack is met with God's truth that David speaks of right here. I lack nothing. Now, that alone can cause us to kind of need to examine our lives and stop right there and just like, okay, I got to take that to the Lord. But wait, there's more. He makes me lie down in green pastures. And I looked this up to see practically what that means. What does it mean to have him make us lie down in green pastures? Well, there was two things that I found when I was searching this out. Number one, sheep don't lay down unless they're feeling safe. And as I said earlier, sheep are a prey species, so their only defense is to run away. So if they're lying down, it's because they're fed and they're feeling safe. Lying down is the action of trust that a sheep's shepherd has done his job. But it's so much so that they feel it, not just that they know it. Okay? The sheep aren't out there going, oh, the shepherd's over there, but you know. If they're lying down, they're trusting that that shepherd is taking care of things. And David is saying, the Lord is makes me feel safe enough and provided for enough that I can lay down and I can rest. The second thing I found out about this is that the shepherd will sometimes make their sheep lay down in a reclining position so that they can administer medicine or check the sheep's feet or anything else that is hard to get at while the sheep is standing. I heard a story of a shepherd who had a sheep that was bloated and in pain because he'd gotten into something that he wasn't supposed to. And so the shepherd caught up this sheep in his arms and he laid it back in a reclining position, mostly on its back, and gave it a baking soda mixture. And the sheep hated it, absolutely hated it. But the shepherd forced this baking soda down the sheep's throat so that the sheep started belching. And soon after, he let the sheep up, and she kept burping. And when she was done burping, the bloating went down, and it was better. And I wanted to share that story because there's a part of that that's true for us as well. When we are Jesus' sheep, there are still times that we get into things that we shouldn't. You know what I'm talking about? And sometimes, in order to get us out of the mess that we have gotten into ourselves into, we need him to take us up in his arms and lay us back in a reclining position to administer the care and be close to him and administer the care that we need to fix that we caused, the problem that we caused ourselves. And also, just like that sheep, sometimes we hate it. But then we find that he lets us up, and that uncomfortable position that we're in, we find that care he gave us has made us better, has worked on us, has changed us, has moved us towards who we want to be, closer to him. Now, some of you may feel that right now, that you're in an uncomfortable position. Maybe you're trying to surrender something to God, and he's brought you into an uncomfortable position in your life. And it may be hard, and it may feel like punishment. But if you've surrendered it to God, I just want to encourage you, let it stay with him. Let him work with you. Let him give you the care that you need. Let him do the things in your life that he needs to do. And he will let you up from that position when the time is right. The next verse says, he leads me beside still waters. Now, as I said earlier, sheep won't drink if the water is moving too fast. And David knew this. And he took comfort in knowing that God would not take him to waters that were too fast for him. He could rest in knowing that God not only would take him to water, but it would be the kind that would satisfy him. And then he says, he restores my soul. So when you're tired and overwhelmed and worried and falling apart, you need your soul restored. When you're hurt or angry or feel alone, you need your soul restored. At all these times, you need God to do what you cannot do. He heals and restores your soul. That soul he died for. Your soul is the soul he died for. Yours. Nothing else can do that. All the hurt of this world becomes baggage on our shoulders and it weighs us down. It becomes baggage on our minds and it makes our heart heavy. But when you come to that stream and you pause and you spend time with him, you will find that your soul is being refreshed and being restored. He guides me along the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. More than anything, I want to obey God. I want us to be a church that obeys God and pleases God. Not so that people will think we're great or think that we're nice people, but so that people will know that we are God's people. I want people to look at me and say, something is different with her. I want to draw people to Christ by letting him shine through me. I want to make them curious about following God and knowing Jesus, and I want to introduce them to him. And here is the trick to that. I have to get out of the driver's seat. This verse says that he guides me along the right paths. I can't get to the right place if I'm leaving him out. David knew that God had his best in mind, that God was the one that would lead him along the right paths. Now, not everything that happened in David's life was good. Sure, he wanted to please God, but he made some pretty crazy, gnarly mistakes along the way. He was the one that God called the man after his own heart, and yet he was a murderer, he was an adulterer. So why would God call him a man after his own heart? Because David's desire was to be led along the right paths for God's sake, for the sake of God's plans. Sure, he messed up, and we all do. Now, hopefully we're not all murderers and adulterers, but we all have our own things. At least, yeah, I hope we're not. But the question is, what is your heart? Is your heart to have God lead you? Will you keep coming back to that when you mess up? Will you desire to have God lead you along those right paths? Will you seek his will, even when you're not perfect? And David did that. In 2 Samuel 12, David was confronted by Nathan about his sin of murder and adultery. And in verse 13, David says this. David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord has also put away your sin. You shall not die. The Lord has also, all David needed to do was say, I've sinned. And then Nathan said to him, okay, the Lord sees that. He put away your sin, and you're not going to die because of it. Now, to our analogy of the sheep we're working with, you may have heard the parable of Jesus, that Jesus told the tax collectors and the sinners about the lost sheep in Luke chapter 15. And he talks about how the shepherd will leave the herd of 99 to go and rescue the lost sheep. He doesn't say why that sheep is lost. The lost sheep could have just been making bad life choices. He could have followed someone else's sheep that were a bad influence on him. He could have been a lazy glutton and pigging out on the grass and just stayed there when everyone else went off. And it could have just taken him in another direction. Whatever the reason, it says that when he finds that sheep, when the shepherd finds the sheep, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and brings it back. And that's what he did for David. He leads us along right paths for his namesake. And when we are on the right paths, God gets the glory. God gets the glory. When we are known as God kids and we are loving the way that we should and caring for people the way that we should, God gets the glory. His name is known for the love and the care that we are giving when we are along those right paths. Praise God. What an opportunity we have to share Jesus in this lost world. And he leads us there. He leads us there. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Dark, evil valleys. Do you ever feel like you're in a dark, evil valley? I feel like that picture reminds me of this. I always picture something like this in my mind when I read that. It's not just a valley. It's one that has evil involved. Because the next line after talking about the valley is that he's choosing to not fear evil. He's reminding himself that evil cannot dwell where God is. So when God is with him, evil is not to be feared. The shepherd's rod and staff are tools to guide the sheep. So when David is talking about the valley, it's God's direction and guidance that will get him through. When he doesn't see the path, the staff will gently press on his side to show him which way to go. This whole year has been full of fear in this world. But God is with you. God is with you. Even when it feels like this picture here, it looks like this guy is going into evil. That's what it looks like. The little guy, I don't know if you can see him. There's a little guy right down there on the path, and he's going into evil is what it looks like to me. But we don't need to fear because the Lord is on his throne. A.W. Tozer said it this way, while it looks like things are out of control, behind the scenes, there is a God who has not surrendered his authority. I want to read that again. While it looks like things are out of control, behind the scenes, there is a God who has not surrendered his authority. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. God is with you, beside you, behind you, before you, above you. You can take comfort in knowing that he is there and he is guiding you through all of this. He's guiding you through it. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. So my enemies are all around, and God is there setting up a table. What's that all about? Like, why isn't God spending his time defeating all those enemies? I have this picture of this battle going on. And I look over, and God is setting a table First, he sets up the table itself. Then he puts a tablecloth on it. He gets out the flatware. Then he goes to the oven and pulls out a pot roast and homemade bread because, you know, homemade bread always has to be there when you have a feast. And we're in the middle of the enemies, right? So my first thought is, what? What? But this picture tells me two things. Number one, the victory is sure. God is able to do that because it's at the point in the battle where victory is sure. It's already done. And two, God is setting up that table right in the presence of your enemies because it does two things. It tells you and it tells them that no one can stand against you. God has already defeated the enemy, and those enemies are just about ready to figure out that they are already dead. It is a sign of the hope and the strength and the provision that he is offering to you, and a sign that to your enemies that the defeat, of the defeat that they have just been dealt. The principalities and powers that are coming against us will not prevail because the victory was already won. It was already won. The good shepherd has seen the wolves and the dangers of the evil in this life, and he defeated them back on the cross. He has come to walk with us through the valley of the shadow of death. And then right in the middle of that valley, he shows his provision. Right in the middle of it, he's showing his provision. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. The shepherds would anoint the sheep's head with oil for all kinds of reasons, one of which is to keep the flies out of their noses. I'll spare you the details of that. It's really gross, but I looked it up so I could understand. But the oil would not only keep the flies out, but also would kill parasites. King David was literally anointed with oil when he was a boy and a shepherd. Samuel came to his home to anoint him as the next king. The anointing of oil was a symbol of being set apart for divine use. David had a grateful heart in this passage. The reminder of the good shepherd's anointing meant protection from parasites of this world and the calling on his life for great things. And God anoints us as well. We have been called. We have been set apart, chosen by God. 1 Peter 2:9 tells us that we are chosen that we may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And David speaks of the promise that comes with being chosen. We are set apart. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thank you, Jesus. God's goodness and his love will follow us all the days of our lives. And then we get to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I love this passage so much. It comes from a place of trust in God. The promise that God is our shepherd is so rich and so comforting. Just as Jesus is referred to as the good shepherd, he also calls us to be like him, to shepherd people. We talked last week about stewarding others, and being a shepherd to them goes along with that, walking with them, caring for them, guiding them to Jesus, going after them. Shepherds are so willing to be inconvenienced by their sheep. Like I said earlier, the shepherd doesn't look at the choices of the sheep to determine if it's worth going after. In fact, the only criteria that demands the effort that is required is that the sheep is lost. That's the only thing that matters. He's lost. Jesus came after you. He came after you. There was no point system in which your good overcame your bad. And so he's like, all right, I guess you get to come in. The only criteria that demanded Jesus' sacrifice is that you were lost. And in our shepherding others, we need to look at the world that way. There shouldn't be a point system for caring for others. We do it because they're lost. I knew I was going to cry. But God is... I want you to think on two things today. First of all that David spoke of here is true for you as well. God will make you lie down in green pastures with all the provision and protection that comes with it. He will lead you by still waters and restore your soul when it needs restoring. He will lead you in paths of righteousness. And even though you may go through hard times and face all kinds of evils, you don't need to fear because he's with you. His rod and his staff will assure that you are on the right path and lead you to it, guide you to it. He is with you before your enemies, and he's preparing a table for you, signifying the victory and giving you provision. He has anointed you for great things, and his goodness and his mercy will be with you, and you get to be with him in his house forever. So if you're in a place today that you need that rest and provision or protection, know that it is yours. It's for you. The Lord is your shepherd, and you lack nothing. Believe it. If you don't feel it in your life, then you need to take that to God. Take it back to God. Have somebody pray with you about it. Let him show you how he is showing up in your life right now. Because he is with you. Secondly, I want to ask you, are you willing to partner with Christ and shepherd those around you? To be willing to be inconvenienced by them? To give grace and overlook stupidity for the sake of eternity? To care for them, not because they believe the same way that you do or voted the same way that you did or made all the right decisions, but just because they're lost. They're lost. We cannot sit in judgment over the world. God's doing that. We do have a calling to love them. If you're struggling with that, I want you to hear something. Tiffany, could you come up here, please? We kind of talked about this, but I didn't remind you this morning, so. At our weekly prayer time on Friday, Tiffany shared a story that I believe goes right along with this call to be a good shepherd. Tiffany, could you tell the story about the building?
Building, and it was really interesting. The the building would flex. So a building that tall, you might think that the most rigid structure would be the answer to surviving those kinds of forces. But actually, it was the flexibility to be rooted and grounded. The foundations don't move, but the top of it has the flexibility to sway in the wind. And that story came up for me this weekend, over the course of this week. All of us, I think every person right now would say that we have been in the force of the shaking and the wind. And there's an inclination to get really rigid and hard, especially because I think all of our relationships have been taxed. I would be shocked if there was a person in this room who has not, over the past months, experienced conflict or at least seen really disturbing, concerning things from the people that you know and love because of the place that our country is in right now. And sometimes our response to that, we get wounded and we get scar tissue and we get calluses, and those become hard places in our heart. And our response to that can be to get really hard and really rigid. And I just this week was reminded of that building and was just thinking about how necessary it is in this season that we stay rooted and grounded, that our foundations are the same, that part doesn't change, right? Jesus is the rock. We stand on the rock of our salvation. But we have the flexibility and the softness to be responsive to the people around us and the circumstances that we're in.
Thank you. It's necessary to be rooted and not rigid. It's necessary right now. It will continue to be necessary as we move forward to be rooted in Christ, to lean on Him to be our good shepherd, for Him to declare the victory, and for us to partner with Him, because people are lost. People are lost. It's an eternal thing. It's an eternal assignment. It's not just so we can get through the day or the week or the year. It's an eternal assignment. It makes eternal difference in eternity for us to stay rooted, to know what we know, to stand on Christ, stand on the Lord, to lean on Him, and to shepherd people around us, drawing them to Him. Would you stand with me? As we close today, I want to pray for you. Some of you in here, I know, have been feeling that a little beat up maybe because of all the election stuff going on, or maybe it's, you know, personal life or whatever. But I feel like this morning we're just supposed to pray that God would position us to be good shepherds, that we would be able to give Him the places in our hearts that are becoming calloused and beat up, and that He would restore our souls for His sake. He would lead us along those paths of righteousness for His sake. We don't want to miss out on what He's doing. We don't want to miss out on it. So let me pray for you. Would you just lift your hands out to the Lord to receive this? And if this is you, just lift your hands. Father God, I just come to you, Lord, today. Lord, we come to you today, Lord God, as our good shepherd who knows us. Lord, you know us. You know right where we're at. Lord, you know what we brought in here with us today, Lord God. You know the beat up places, Lord. You know the calloused places, the hard places, Lord God. And Lord, I pray that you would just come and care for your people this morning, Lord. Lord, for the sake of the world, Lord, for the sake of the world, Lord, just heal your people, restore their souls, Lord God. Lift their head to see you, what you're doing. Lord, I pray that you would come in and move in this body, Lord God, that you would move in this community in a mighty way. Lord, I pray that we would be correct reflections of you, Lord, that we would be a clear reflection of your love, that we would be a clear reflection of your care right now, Lord God, Lord, in our circles. Lord, thank you that we can lean on you, that we can depend on you for provision. We can depend on you for health, Lord God. We can depend on you for all these things, Lord God. And Lord, if there are things that we don't understand, that maybe we're holding back from you because we think that we are lacking in an area or lacking, even if it's lacking in understanding, Lord, I pray that we would go after those places, Lord. That we would allow you to come in, Lord, that we would bring them to you and we would allow you to come in and explain things to us, Lord, or to care for us in whatever way we need, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your kindness, Lord God. Lord, thank you that no matter what we've done or who or the things that we have chosen, Lord God, that you love us, that you say that when we come to you, that you put away that sin. So Lord, show us those places in our lives that need to be righted and help us not to carry things any longer, Lord God, that we would give them to you. And we thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.